Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2. Reading from verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, "But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote the same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death, unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. Please bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks for this time to be together in the evening meeting. We pray that as we settle our minds down now, that our hearts would be attentive to thy holy word. Lord, it might please thee to meet with us and take thy truth and apply it to every one of our souls. Lord, so often we have to say that our minds are dull and our hearts are cold and hard. Well, we're asking then tonight for a breath of the Spirit of the Lord to quicken us. I'm praying, Lord, that the truth of the gospel would be fastened to our souls. I pray that we would mix the Word of God with faith so that we would see our lives fulfilling the great purpose, the will of God in every one. We know, Father, that to fulfill the will of God is the clear evidence that we are related to our Lord Jesus. And in this great truth, we rejoice tonight, and we're thankful for the witness that we have in our soul. And so, Lord, even when we come to the point of denying ourselves and we see very great weakness all around, yet we're thankful that our Savior cannot deny Himself, and the Word of God is true. And so our confidence and our hope and our certainty is in Him tonight. So, Lord, hear this, our prayer. Draw near to us now and bless the Scripture to every heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 14, please, of 2 Corinthians 2. What I want us to think about tonight, where the apostle says to his dear and beloved people, "Now thanks be unto God, which or who always causeth us to triumph in Christ." Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. These were encouraging words that the apostle spoke to the Corinthian church. If you know the context of the first letter that he sent in 1 Corinthians, it was a very difficult thing that Paul had to do. So difficult was it that we have just a window to look into his heart and his soul when he was composing that letter. He said that he wrote to them in much affliction. He wrote in anguish of heart. He wrote to them in much tear, in many tears. Why? Because he knew the words that he had to write to them were difficult words. They were hard words. He was exposing their inconsistency. He was exposing their sin. He was exposing their pride. And all of those things the apostle did not delight in doing. But they were hard things upon his soul, for he loved them. And he only wanted to see them progress. He only wanted to see them advance in their walk with Christ. And so he was sorrowful about that. And he seems to almost trip over himself, saying, "If I have made you sorry, that was not my intention. If I have made you sad, I only wanted to impart God's word to you, because I want us to rejoice together in the great calling and purpose that we have." And so as he continues to develop his argument, his reasoning, he says also that the man that was causing the sin, the brother that had to be disciplined, he said, allow that brother to be welcomed back into the fellowship if he has repented, if he is sorrowful for that sin. But don't allow him to be consumed or taken over with too much sorrow. Because if he continues to remember his sin and remember his sin and remember his sin, and he never comes to the joy of realizing he has been forgiven when he has repented, then he needs to be restored back again. Why, this is the pattern of New Testament discipline. It's the pattern of seeing what happens when a brother or sister stumbles and falls into sin. They are to be brought back into the fellowship as they themselves are willing and wanting to do just that. What he says is very interesting in verse 11. Because there comes a time when the restoration must take place. Because if the restoration does not take place, we're in danger of something else. And we're in danger of Satan getting an advantage over us. But he goes on to say, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. And my, have we not understood this in our own hearts? We've seen it in our own lives, where Satan seems to have been able to get the one up on us. He's been able to get the advantage over us. And yet, Paul is warning, let not that happen. Because Satan wants to find every opportunity he can. And if he finds the door just left ajar a little bit, he will be coming in. And he tries to come in through our personal relationships. He tries to come in through family relationships. He tries to come in through church relationships. He tries to get in through our own hearts. But we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. We are not ignorant of his wiles. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 that we are to have on the whole armor of God so that we will not be deceived by the wiles of the devil, the deception of the evil one. And so he comes and tries to overthrow us. But our best defense against him will most certainly be the Word of God in our hearts, as David prayed, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And so as we have God's word in us, and we are very much aware of the devil's devices, then we will be able to be strong in him and in the power of his might. And we will be able to defend ourselves against his attack. And so, not only does the apostle encourage them and warn them lest Satan should come in, but then he brings his words to a conclusion in verse 14, which is what we're thinking about tonight. "Now thanks be unto our God, who always causeth us to triumph in Christ Jesus." I want to think with you tonight on this subject, simply the victory of every Christian in this world and in the world that is to come. The victory of every Christian in this life and in the life that is to come. You see, the victory that we have in Christ for us, it is certain. It is certain because it is by the power of God alone. We must acknowledge and take a vote of no confidence in our flesh. And when the apostle said that we have this victory that is always given to us, it is always certain, it is always sure, but how does that victory come? Does it come, my friend, because of our ability? Does it come because of our strength? No, it can never come because of our strength. It will never be dependent on us. This morning in our youth Bible class, I was showing them a picture of a streetcar from downtown Toronto. And if you've ever seen a streetcar, of course, they're on the rails, and they are powered by electricity that comes from the overhead lines. And there is a rod or a bar that's on the top of the streetcar, and there's a curved adapter that connects to the power lines. Sometimes if a streetcar goes around the corner too fast, or if it hits a bump, or for some unusual reason, maybe the wires have been shaked, then that connector becomes disconnected. Immediately the streetcar stops. It does not have any internal power of itself. It does not have any extra batteries. So that once that thing becomes disconnected, it is just not going anywhere. And it snarls up traffic and it stops everything. And the conductor has to come out and he has to climb up in the back of the streetcar, or else they call the service people. And they have got to put that connector back on the line. And as soon as they do, they have power. And friends, you and I, as Christians, if we are not connected to the power source of our living God, we have no might and we have no power in ourselves. Isaiah said, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And Jesus tells us in John 15 that without me, ye can do nothing. Why? Because the branch must be connected to the vine. And the branch left to itself has no power. There is no energy. There is no ability. There is no strength. It is only as we abide in the Lord, it is only that we acknowledge that we draw our power from Him, that we will have the victory in our Christian life. My dear friends, rejoice tonight in this, that it is certain because of the power of the living God to us. We sometimes think of the doctrine of the omnipotence of God. That is a good doctrine to think about. It is the fact that God is all-powerful, that there is no restraining of His power. There is no way anyone can take that power away from Him. It cannot be added to. He is omnipotent. And this all-powerful Lord has said to us that we have the victory in Him and through Christ Jesus. And that's a great hope for us tonight. And believer, no matter what trial you are going through, no matter what circumstance that you have tonight, you can be thankful and be happy and rejoice that the Lord will not let you down and that your strength is made perfect because of Him. There's something else we need to notice in this, that this victory that we have in the Lord, it is not contingent upon circumstances. It doesn't depend on whether you are happy, sad, prospering, or not prospering. It doesn't matter whether you feel strong in yourself or not. It doesn't matter whether you are prospering in your Christian life by your definition. It doesn't matter about those things. It is not contingent upon the circumstances that are all around us. You think for a moment about what happened to the people of God at the Red Sea. Was their victory and the outcome for Israel, was it dependent upon their ability? Was it dependent upon the fact that they could see that there was a way out of this problem? No, it didn't. They were standing against a huge obstacle, and God told them, "You will go forward." And therefore, because God had commanded them, it didn't matter what was going on around. And yes, they were afraid. And yes, you and I will be afraid. Pharaoh's army, motivated by satanic power, was barreling down behind them. And yet, God said to them, "I will make a way for you to go." And Moses, by the command of God, lifted his rod, and the water separated. And they were able to go through, and they saw the victory. What about Daniel when he was cast into the den of lions? It didn't look too good for him at that time. Circumstances were very bad. And he could have felt himself at the disposal of those animals and to be torn to shreds by them. And in any natural sense, that definitely would have happened. But God's victory for His people, it does not matter upon situations that are going on around us. Was it not true for the three friends of Daniel as they were cast into the burning fiery furnace? None of us have ever experienced anything like that. The Lord said, "I am with you in the fire, through the flame." And there, the certain victory that they had did not depend upon anything that they could do around them. And you come into the New Testament, friend, and you observe Stephen, the first martyr, as he was as an angel before all of his accusers, as he gave bright testimony to God's power and the truth of Christ and the resurrected Redeemer that he served. And as he gave testimony of all that, they picked up stones to stone him. You wouldn't think, well, where's the victory in all that? Where's the protection of God there? Yes, my friend. It did not depend upon the circumstances, because Stephen was made victorious that day. He saw the heavens opened and he saw the living God, Christ, standing up to receive him. That was a day of victory for that man. Paul, the apostle, as he is writing to the Ephesians, do you know where he is? He is in Rome. he is in prison, and he is writing through Tychicus the letter to the Ephesians. And what's he telling the people? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He is saying to them, it doesn't matter about your earthly circumstances, because they could be bad as the one I'm in right now, incarcerated, in prison, not having my liberty. And yet Paul was at perfect liberty, because nothing could constrain his conscience. Nothing could constrain his will, his purpose in the Lord. He was free in Jesus Christ, and the circumstances did not matter. And friend, what about your life? What about my life? What about the times that you are going through things when you think you're in total bondage, you have no liberty, you have no freedom, and the devil is getting the upper hand upon you? Remember this, that God has promised we will always have the victory because of God's power, irrespective of all circumstances, because our Lord is the one that is holding us in his hand and for his greater purposes. My friend, I want you to all to also notice that the reason of this victory that we have is that it is all centered in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have this triumph. We have this victory because of what Jesus has done for us. It is because of what he did on Calvary. It is because he went to the cross and there he suffered and died in our place. It is because he went and took upon himself the humility of the grave. And he went into the tomb for us. And he rose victoriously and gloriously on the third day. And now he is exalted, having ascended at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And all of this and the victory that he has obtained for us is ours today, because he is alive, we are alive in him. We have this day a standing, and a standing of righteousness, and a standing of holiness, and a standing today of peace. We are in him tonight. And friend, whatever is your burden and trial, just now, rejoice in this truth that you have the victory in your Savior. And it's because of him and all the merit that he has obtained for us, and all of his righteousness and everything that he presents before his Father. And your name is written on his hands. And he extends those hands to his Father. And he pleads for you. He pleads your case. He pleads your cause. And he pleads all on the merit of his own righteous person. And you have and are guaranteed a triumph, a victory that cannot be overturned. No power in hell, no power on earth. The devil is defeated, and we are alive today in our Savior. You know what this truth does for a Christian? This truth does for us tonight, well, it is a cure. It is a cure for our worry and our concerns. Is God ever glorified by a worrying Christian? Is God ever honored by you when you are wringing your hands together and you wonder, how is this all going to work out? It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. Well, sometimes we say that honestly to the Lord, don't we? We say, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't get this. And I can't see a way through. That may be so. And it may even come to the point where you ask the Lord, why, Lord, are you allowing this to happen? Why are you doing this in my life? But God has a reason, friend. He has a purpose tonight. And the purpose is what we thought about last Lord's Day. He is conforming us to the image of his Son. And he has us on the wheel, and his loving hands around the lump of clay, and he is forming us into the purpose that He wants to make us for. We have no right or reason or cause to worry. The Lord has told us, trust in Me with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. That is God's promise to us. But we take upon ourselves sometimes much more than we should. Instead of saying, Lord, this weight is too heavy for me to carry. This suitcase is too much for me. I cannot handle it. Lord, you're going to have to pick it up and carry it for me. And that's exactly what the Lord does. He comes along and He will take your worry and your care and your frustration, and He will say, enough, My child. I will take care of this. Because you see, if we do not give to the Lord our worry and our concern, do you know what's going to happen? You know what it leads to? It leads to us being cast down. It leads to us, the worry gives place to depression, and depression gives place to, very sadly, despair. Have you known a Christian who's been cast down so far that there seems to be no help for them? They're not being lifted up. What has happened? They have lost sight of their Savior. They have lost sight of the victory and the glory of Christ. They have lost sight of the fact that we have triumph in the Lord in all, in every circumstance, and it doesn't matter. Oh, friend, tonight, don't allow yourself to be taken and eaten up with this, but come back to the promise of this word here that we have read tonight. For we will give thanks to the Lord, for we always will triumph in our Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, when we get this truth firmly settled in our minds, do you know what will happen next? This truth will motivate us. This truth, as our eyes are set upon our Savior, will encourage us and propel us forward. We will be motivated to serve God. Sometimes we serve God for maybe the wrong reasons. But our service for the Lord need not be barren and dry. But as we know the reviving power of the Spirit of God in us, and as we see the greater picture of the honor of Jesus and what God is intending in our life, then we're able to serve Him with all our heart. And it's a motivation to serve, not because we're whipped or beaten to do it, not because of some obligation, but what do? We come to present, to give our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service tonight. Where are you, friend, with the Lord this evening? Is your heart in His hand? Is your life under His control? Are you saying, Lord, I just want to live for your service and your honor? And if that's your prayer in your heart, then, my dear friend, God will abundantly answer. He will come to help us. He will come to help us in our every need. And when we think about this great truth, it will deliver us from our anxiety and our worry. It will motivate us to serve Him, and it will also strengthen us to seek His face more earnestly, more passionately. It will encourage us to pray. That's certainly a part of service, isn't it? Yes, our Christian service is that we seek God in prayer. We've encouraged each other in this. As you will say to me, yes, Pastor, I'm praying for you. And as you're going out the door sometimes, or you send a little note or a text, it's so meaningful. And that I've encouraged you before to share with other people. Just write some brother or sister a note and tell them, God has burdened my heart to pray for you today. You know, I've had notes from ministers overseas and people and friends, and just out of the blue, someone will write to you a little note and say, Brother, just God's placed you upon my heart today. I'm praying for you. What an encouragement that is. And when we do that also with others, it just shows that we want to be used in the service of Christ. We want to be earnest in our praying one for another. And as we do that, we are evidencing this truth that we have the victory in the Lord. And He has promised us, and we can take that truth to our heart tonight, that we will always, always, always triumph in Christ, because it is God's purpose for His own chosen people. Friend, tonight, maybe you're here and you're not a believer tonight. I don't know your heart, young, medium, old, but if you're not in Christ tonight, then settle that matter before you leave. Be sure that you are a child of the King. Be sure that you are in Him. And friend, if you're watching the service today online and you've tuned in maybe by what you think is an accident, well, it is no accident, for God purposes all things for His own glory. And I pray tonight for your good as you will seek Him with your heart. Come to Christ. Make no delay. Hear in His word. He has shown us the way. And to humbly call upon the Savior and to repent of your sin, that is the way of God, the way of truth, the way of everlasting peace. I pray that will be the case for you tonight. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Father, what a great text of Scripture this is tonight for us. I pray that its truth would be just a blessing to everyone listening to this word. I pray, Father, that we will see its truth and the reality of it in our own lives. I pray that tomorrow morning as we wake up and start a week's work, we will take this truth with us and it will carry us forward, will help us to go through the hard times, the difficult experiences of life. And Lord, pour out, we pray, your Spirit and blessing upon each one. Save precious souls, we pray. Encourage every heart and build us up in our most holy faith. So, Lord, part us now in thy fear, with thy rich blessing. Go before us, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.